You got strong minds, stronger than most people. That's why you listen to this show.
A study published this week in the Journal of Financial Economics found that 83% of gamblers quit right before they would have hit the big one. Researchers confirmed that roughly 8 out of 10 gamblers who walked away from slot machines, poker games, horse races, roulette, and other games were consistently just a single stake away from winning it all and unknowingly gave up a lifetime of fortune by quitting prematurely.
Our study proved that subjects who closed an online poker session, walked away from a slot machine, or even gave up gambling altogether would have won millions of dollars in the next bet. Also, people who walk away after hitting it big are missing out on a chance to make more money. I mean, when you're hot, you're hot.
Attendees of a karaoke night confirmed this week that this man, currently 30 seconds into the song Man in the Mirror, better get his act together and get it together fast. Onlookers say the man, who has already botched the opening lyrics of Michael Jackson's 1988 hit song, better get his ass in gear pronto if he wants to salvage this performance, because no one came here to watch him fuck around for 5 minutes.
You know, he could hit every last note for the remainder of the song, and I still don't know if that would be enough to turn this thing around.
Honestly, he needs to get serious right now or get the fuck off the stage. I mean, what does he think this is? Living on a prayer?
Pathetic.
And in this week's op-ed pages, author Joyce Carol Oates offers her advice to aspiring writers. In other news, Taylor Swift enters an alternate universe to date a bodybuilding George Harrison.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
This is Ned Brooks.
Scientists are continuing their discussions of the proposed U.S. program for putting a man on the moon at an estimated cost of somewhere between $20 and $40 billion. And here and there are voices of doubt that the project is worth the price. Yesterday we reported some reservations on the part of Dr. Ralph E. Lapp, the prominent nuclear physicist. Today, United Press International reports that Dr. Philip Abelson, director of the Geophysical Laboratory of the Carnegie Institution and president of the Washington Academy of Sciences, holds similar views. Dr. Abelson, like Dr. Lapp, doubts that so much money should be spent putting a man on the moon when lunar exploration could be conducted at a fractional cost by electronic instruments. Scientists, quite naturally, can be expected to be much more eager for a moon probe than laymen, because of their interest in any new field of knowledge. So when they start doubting the value of the program, we have only a taste of what is to come when congressional committees, which will have to vote the funds, start toting up the costs. When the congressmen are faced with the startling fact that the moon trip may cost more than it cost to build our entire railway system, and perhaps nearly half the value of all the nation's farmlands, they may begin to have some serious doubts as to where we are going and why.
Protests in Turkey show no sign of diminishing following another night of violence between demonstrators and police. What began as a peaceful campaign against plans to build over a park has descended into the worst riots in decades. Anti-government protesters gathered on the streets of Istanbul and the capital Ankara on Saturday night. They attacked police with firecrackers, Molotov cocktails, and stones. Officers retaliated with water cannons and smoke grenades as they tried to break up the demonstrators. But despite the unrest, the Turkish Prime Minister is remaining defiant. Recep Tayyip Erdogan has ruled out the possibility of holding elections earlier.
A revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Three-piece suits and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The F-15 is a homicide bomber. TV commercial for a Papa pill culture. Drug companies circling like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother you? Fire!
Smoke and flames rise over Kabul after an attack by insurgents in the Afghan capital. Insurgents launched the pre-dawn attack on Afghanistan's main international airport, which also houses major foreign military bases. There were no immediate reports of any casualties, with Afghan and international security forces battling to bring the situation under control. Attacks on the heavily guarded airport are relatively rare and represent an ambitious target for insurgents, with recent assaults staged against less well-protected targets. It has raised concern over how Afghan security forces will cope with an intensifying insurgency once most foreign combat troops leave the country by the end of 2014.
Revolution never come with a warning. Revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution never come with a warning. A revolution. Everyone addicted to the same nicotine. Everyone addicted to the same gasoline. Everyone addicted to a technicolor screen. Everybody trying to get their hands on the same grain. From the banks of the river to the banks of the greedy. All of the riches taken back by the needy. We come from the country and we come from the city. Play us on a record, you can play us on a CD. All the shit you giving us is fertilizer. The seeds that you planted, you can never brutalize. Tell the corporation you can never globalize it. Like Peter Tosh said, legalize it. Girls and boys hear the bass and the treble. Rumble in the speakers and it make you wanna rebel. Throw your hands up, take it to another level. And you never, ever, ever make a deal with the devil. Yeah, fire.
Fire on a bus in southeastern China, which killed 47 people on Friday, is being investigated as a serious criminal case. It caught fire during rush hour as it travelled along an elevated stretch of highway in the coastal city of Xiamen. Amateur footage shows crowds looking on at the burning bus, people carrying the injured to safety, and firefighters trying to extinguish the blaze. Early investigations into the cause have found that it's unlikely to be down to technical failure. There was no damage to the tyres or oil tank before the fire, and petrol is believed to have been used as an accelerant while the bus ran on diesel. It wouldn't be the first time a bus has been targeted in China. In 2009, a passenger set fire to himself in Chengdu, killing 27 people. In the same year, a disgruntled steelworker started a fire which killed 24. As well as the 47 people killed in the fire on Friday, 37 were injured. Local government have set up 5 emergency response teams to cope with the aftermath.
Never come with a warning. Revolution never send you an omen. Revolution never come with a warning.
CEO of Dollar Tree unveils the long-rumored foil baking pan. A new donor liver complains about the difficulty of working with Lou Reed. And a local couple keeps their marriage together for the sake of no one. Close your eyes and take a deep breath. We'll keep this as quick and painless as possible. This is The Onion Week in Review. This week, officials at the Pentagon confirmed that the United States military's sexual assaults are still the very best in the world. Members of the top brass of the Department of Defense assured Americans that while violent sexual attacks in other countries have become more and more prevalent in past years, sexual assault occurring within the U.S. military will always be number one.
We've understood that you do set the tone for all of this. But there is a difference between setting the tone, dealing with misdemeanor-level behavior, and dealing with some criminal behavior. But when we're talking about serious crimes like rape and murder, crimes that have penalties of more than a year or more, what several of us are asserting and arguing today is we think you should do what other countries around the world who we fight with every day, that they're our allies, they're side by side with us in combat, Israel, the UK, Australia, Germany, they've taken the serious crimes out of the chain of command for precisely this reason, because the commander, while you are all so dedicated and determined, not all commanders are objective. Not every single commander necessarily wants women in the force. Not every single commander believes what a sexual assault is. Not every single commander can distinguish between a slap on the ass and a rape.
This administration also puts forward a false choice between the liberties we cherish and the security we provide. I will provide our intelligence and law enforcement agencies with the tools they need to track and take out the terrorists without undermining our Constitution and our freedom. That means no more illegal wiretapping of American citizens. No more national security letters to spy on citizens who are not suspected of a crime. No more tracking citizens who do nothing more than protest a misguided war. No more ignoring the law when it is inconvenient. That is not who we are. And it's not what is necessary to defeat the terrorists. The FISA court works. The separation of powers works. Our Constitution works. We will again set an example for the world that the law is not subject to the whims of stubborn rulers and that justice is not arbitrary. This administration acts like violating civil liberties is the way to enhance our security. It is not. There are no shortcuts to protecting America.
secret government surveillance program.
The NSA is collecting phone records from millions of Verizon wireless customers.
I'm switching right now to AT&T.
I think we can assume it's all the other carriers as well.
Some groups think this is a massive invasion of privacy.
Gigantic overreach by the federal government.
It is beyond Orwellian.
Should Americans be fearful of this morning?
Yes.
I'm kind of scratching my head at the outrage on this one.
Conservatives have been saying since 9/11, you just got to do what you got to do for the national security.
I don't think you're talking to terrorists. I know you're not. I know I'm not, so we don't have anything to worry about.
Whammy.
There is nothing new in this program.
It's been in effect for 7 years.
How do you get to do that? Government.
So this is legal under the Patriot Act.
This was all started under President Bush, and it's something the Republicans pushed for.
When the Bush administration was pursuing these policies, I don't think you heard much complaint about it.
I defended the NSA program under the Bush administration. What the Obama administration has done is massively more expansive than what Bush did.
This is unlike what the Bush administration did.
No wiretapping in this case.
It is pursuant to a court order. Secondly, they say members of Congress have been briefed on this program.
It renders completely ludicrous the notion that Barack Obama ran as the anti-George W. Bush.
We haven't heard any Obama jokes for 4 years, so it's great.
Under this logic, the government could send people to all of our homes, put them in a bed next to us, have them watch everything.
They have no interest or time or manpower to just sort of dive in and see what people are up to.
So make of it what you will.
All right, so I'm sure we should be doing this. Okay, good.
Oh, baby, don't look so nervous. They just want bats. And it's all written out in the USA Patriot Act. We don't take no chances in a nation at war.
What do you make of this, Senator? Is this a big deal for Americans? Millions and millions and millions of Americans whose phone records were apparently given over to the government. Should we all be concerned?
Well, I think we should be concerned about terrorists trying to infiltrate our country and attack us and trying to coordinate activities from overseas with inside the country. It's happening in our own backyard, and I'm glad the NSA is trying to find out what terrorists are up to overseas. Sure. And inside the country.
Well, Senator, I don't know about you, but I've got Verizon. That means the government's been...
I do, too.
Okay, you and I and a lot of us here in the studio have been tracked by the NSA following all of our phone detail. Apparently, this program will expire on June the 19th unless it's renewed. Why do you think somebody, somewhere, is leaking this to this UK newspaper so that we would know about it right now?
You know, that's a good question, but I'm a Verizon customer. I don't mind Verizon turning over records to the government if the government's going to make sure that they try to match up a known terrorist phone.
Yeah.
with somebody in the United States. I don't think you're talking to terrorists. I know you're not. I know I'm not, so we don't have anything to worry about. I'm glad the activity is going on, but it is limited to tracking people who are suspected to be terrorists and who they may be talking to.
Are you sure?
Yes.
That's what it's supposed to be, but are you sure they're still doing that?
Yes, I'm sure.
Okay.
that's what they're
so
doing.
So this is not new to you.
It's not the 100
no.
million customers that,
okay.
that the original report said.
All right. So
I'm sure we should be doing this.
Oh, baby, what did I tell you about the house being bugged? They can hear us making breakfast. They can hear us making love. But excuse me a minute. Big brother's at the door.
Developing right now. What is the government doing with your phone records? I mean, a lot of them. The U.S. government reportedly attaining top secret court orders requiring Verizon to turn over the telephone records of millions of Americans to the National Security Agency. The Guardian reports that the order was issued at the request of the FBI, and the information being turned over to the NSA includes originating and terminating telephone numbers, as well as the location, time, and duration of all the calls. According to the report, the order does not require the content of the conversations be turned over. The ACLU calls the secret court order alarming and beyond Orwellian. And last night, former presidential candidate and former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich told CNN's Piers Morgan, there's only one thing that can justify this kind of government intrusion.
I'd want to know that this was walled off, and I would want some kind of criminal sanctions against anybody who used this information for anything except counterterrorism. The problem is, given everything we've learned recently about the current bureaucracy, why would you trust them?
You know you're my one and only, and you always have been. Sure is gonna be lonely after I turn you in. So I'll wait till tomorrow to file my report.
Start by getting your reaction to what's going on with the NSA and the government collecting all these records.
Wow, that was that's a revelation. Why they would need that much data puzzles me. It just seems strange that they would collect all of that, only to, I'm sure, drill down on certain aspects later on. But that was a surprise and raises some questions that I think we ought to answer.
And a copy of this order that was obtained by the Guardian newspaper says this. It requires Verizon on an ongoing daily basis, that's the quote, to give the NSA information on all telephone calls in its system. But if their goal, Senator, is to obviously track people who are suspected terrorists and who they may be talking to you, might you be comfortable with this?
Well, certainly we want to give law enforcement the tools that they need and require to track terrorists, and if they can come now and show the Congress the need for this and why they need to collect this so-called metadata, then perhaps it's okay. It's not just Verizon, I think we can assume, it's all the other carriers as well. It just seems strange to me that they would need that much information and start with that broad of a base. So I'll be interested in the answers to the questions.
You want those answers?
Sure, you bet. I think it's incumbent on us. One thing I've learned after being here a while is that the administration, whether it's Republican or Democrat, will take every tool they're given and use it to make sure that that we're safe. I don't think it's always nefarious. They're certainly trying to do what they think is right. It's up to the Congress to make sure that there's a balance between civil liberties and the need to have that information, and that's what we're going to do.
Job switch.
Tom Donilon resigning as national security advisor. Guess who his replacement will be?
President Obama had his pick of pretty much anyone in America, and he chose Susan Rice.
Wow.
That's odd.
This is huge news.
It is.
I suspect we're going to hear some sound and fury.
Are Republicans going to bring up the whole Benghazi talking points thing again?
We have not forgotten about Benghazi.
There'll be a lot of carping from Republicans.
First of all, she'll be a disaster.
A woman many believe lied to the American people.
Misled the nation. Yep.
One of the most polarizing figures in his administration.
She's a competent individual, patriot,
who puts her country first.
She didn't put her country first. This is the criticism. This isn't me.
It is curious why he would decide to resign. Wink, wink.
Why now?
Why not now?
Tom Donilon's wife just took a new job that will involve a lot of foreign travel, so he decided it was time to make a change.
In this town, nothing means anything.
Susan Rice has been part of a cover-up, cover-up.
Cover-up. Too much cleavage.
This could be a statement to Republicans.
Act of defiance. A slap in the face.
Defiant gesture.
In your face.
Poke in the eye.
Thumb in the eye.
Slap in the face.
Sort of a poke in the eye.
Thumb in the eye. Somewhat of a slap in the face to Republicans.
In your face.
I'm thinking President Obama doesn't much care.
I don't care what you think.
I'm in my second term and I'm going to do whatever I want to do.
Ultimately, this is going to be a smooth sailing.
This position does not require Senate confirmation.
She's going to be the security advisor.
But what this allows Republicans to do is to spend the next 4 years talking about Susan Rice and Benghazi.
She has been dealing with the whole world through the United Nations. Mm-hmm. She understands where we stand and what the problems are. That might be very valuable.
Sorry about that.
Focus on your backside, yeah. Brian.
You don't understand. I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
But you know that many, many conservative groups, hundreds of them, were kept waiting with no answers for months and months,
years at a time. They were never denied
but,
their
well,
exemption.
Why is that? Who cares? Who cares? If you're stuck for 3 years with no answer, isn't that the same as an effective denial?
Wait a minute. Ms. Kelly. They can still operate. They can still collect money. They can still put out advertisements. They can use their First Amendment rights. Nobody at the IRS stopped them from doing that.
But Congressman McDermott, that ignores the reality of the testimony you heard. Jim Kukugi talked about how they lost a $30,000 donation because a lot of people don't want to donate to groups that haven't received that stamp of approval in officially becoming a 501c4.
That was not under testimony, under oath. I don't know.
He didn't offer any proof.
He didn't offer any proof.
So he was lying. Is this your answer to that?
Anybody who claims that they lost donations are misleading. Kelly, you are putting words in my mouth.
I'm asking you.
You are putting words in my mouth. Stop it.
I'm not, sir.
You don't understand. I ain't scared of you, mother.
Now, let me take the two issues separately. When it comes to telephone calls, nobody is listening to your telephone calls. That's not what this program's about. As was indicated, the intelligence community is doing is looking at phone numbers and durations of calls. They are not looking at people's names, and they're not looking at content. But by sifting through this so-called metadata, they may identify potential leads with respect to folks who might engage in terrorism. If these folks, if the intelligence community then actually wants to listen to a phone call, they've got to go back to a federal judge, just like they would in a criminal investigation. So I want to be very clear. Some of the hype that we've been hearing over the last day or so, nobody's listening to the content of people's phone calls.
Kick it! You don't understand.
We, the people, chose to do these things together because we know this country cannot accomplish great things if we pursue nothing greater than our own individual ambition. Unfortunately, you've grown up hearing voices that incessantly warn of government as nothing more than some separate, sinister entity that's at the root of all our problems. Some of these same voices also do their best to gum up the works. They'll warn that tyranny is always lurking just around the corner. You should reject these voices.
ain't scared of you, mother.
I was breaking different codes and data systems and doing data analysis against the Soviet Union. After 9/11, they took one of the programs I had done, or the back end part of it, and started to use it to spy on everybody in this country. So, and that was a program they created called Stellar Wind. That was the separate and compartmented from the regular activity that was ongoing, because it was doing domestic spying. All the equipment was coming in, I knew something was happening, but then when the contractors I had hired came and told me what they were doing, it was clear where all the hardware was going and what they were using it to do. It was simply a different input. Instead of being foreign, it was domestic input.
Somebody told me that they can listen to what we're saying by my having this, even if it's turned off.
Yes. Here's the real grand design. Every domain, think of a domain as an activity, a specific type of activity, phone calls, or banking is another domain. So if you think of graphing each domain, and then each graph then turning it in the third dimension, the trick now is to map through all the domains in that third dimension, pulling together all the attributes that any individual has in every domain, so that now I can pull your entire life together from all those domains and map it out and show your entire life over time. Should I be?
I don't, because if what you're saying it was possible, it would be revolutionary and people would have a vested interest in preventing that from happening.
I'm too old. I'm too old.
I'm not sure how many of you got a chance to hear Keith Alexander yesterday, the head of the NSA, talk about the NSA's activities. Bill, how do you reconcile, is there some way to reconcile General Alexander's statement that the NSA isn't keeping track of every American with the existence of a facility like the one in Utah?
NSA's charter, and it was a legitimate one, was to do foreign intelligence, and I was with that all the way, and I did the best I could in that job. Unfortunately, they took those programs that I built and turned them on you, and I'm sorry for that. I didn't intend that, but they did that.
What you're describing really is hard to reconcile with the laws as the laws are generally understood by the lawyers who work with them.
Most people are familiar with the Webster's definition of intercept. UCID 18 has a different definition, and that's an intercept doesn't take place until it's actually listened to, until somebody puts on some earphones or actually reads some text on a screen. So you can pull in all the communications you want.
The acquisition isn't the search. The querying later on is the search. They can then keep it in their database and target after the fact by going back and conducting data mining searches afterward, in other words, to get the information that they couldn't target from the outset.
And there is another real problem. Unfortunately, the software will, once it takes in data, it will build profiles on everybody in that data. The purpose is to monitor, be able to monitor what people are doing. You build social networks for everybody. That then turns into the graph, and then you index all that data to that graph, which means you can pull out a community. That gives you an outline of the life of everybody in the community. And if you carry it over time from 2001 up, you have that 10 years worth of their life that you could lay out in a timeline that involves anybody in the country. Even senators and House of Representatives, all of them. The dangers here are that we fall into something like a totalitarian state like East Germany.
Well, they came in guns drawn, you know, in my house. They didn't do that to the others, but they did it to me. I guess, I don't know, they thought I was probably the most dangerous of all, so I don't know. I don't know what was in their minds, okay? So, but they did that, and they came in and pointed a gun at me when I was getting out of the shower at the time, so they pointed a gun right at my old head, you know, said, hey. So, I wasn't too upset. I just said, yeah, suppose I could get dressed here, you know, trying to, they weren't intimidating me anyway, so. Tell me something that will implicate somebody in a crime, that's what they asked me. So I told them what the crime was that I knew about, and that was that George Bush, Dick Cheney, Tenet, and Hayden conspired to subvert the Constitution and constitutional process and any number of laws, and here's how they did it. And I explained Stellar Wind on my back porch to all the FBI agents who weren't cleared. So they had a problem. I created a problem for them because they had a bunch of people now who weren't cleared for a very highly classified, only because it was domestic spying, by the way, was the reason it was highly classified. They wanted to highly classify the extreme impeachable crimes that they were committing. It needs to be out in the open. We need to, as a democracy, we need to say, do we want our government doing this or not? And do we want our government to have this data or not? And if so, if we want them to have it, then what kind of controls? And they have to be a little bit more visible. It can't all be done in secret. You can't have secret interpretations of laws and run them in secret and not tell anybody. Or can't make up kill lists and not tell anybody what the criteria is for being in the kill list.
This is something the KGB, the Stasi, or the Gestapo would have loved to have had about their populations. So, I mean, you know, and just because we call ourselves a democracy, right, doesn't mean we will stay that way. That's the real danger. And we, the people, may have absolutely nothing to say about it. We haven't had anything to say so far.
We do not have a democracy for enlightened beings. And by being enlightened, you are always going to be slightly odd, slightly different, a bit of a weirdo, because you're not prepared to fit into the norm. You become what I call a fringe dweller, because TikTok drives you crazy. The oohs and the ahs of life drive you nuts. But in spite of that, and in spite of all of the restriction, there you are, this enlightened being, full of the joy of life. Full of the sensualness, the beauty, a part of all things. There's a gaiety to life. There's a carefree beauty. And as you begin to develop a philosophy of life that is carefree, you become this wonderful scamp. And you can see a laughter and a silliness and a beauty. You can see the courage that is naturally inside your heart. the joy of life.
Full of the joy of life.
McDonald's, one of the most beloved American companies. It sold billions and billions of burgers, fries, and congealed chicken paste kebabs, and has a mere 33,000 locations around the world. So chances are, no matter where you live in the world, there's a McDonald's location in your living room. They sell 75 hamburgers per second. There's a McDonald's in Guantanamo Bay. I'm not kidding. No wonder the prisoners are on a hunger strike. The Golden Arches are more recognizable around the world than the Christian cross, which is not really surprising because, you know, those holy wafers, they're not really cutting it. Maybe if you put some pink slime on there, a little bit of spray-on cheese, then Jesus could compete with Ronald McDonald. I mean, Jesus may have turned water into wine, but Ronald turns chemical pink paste into something called a McRib, which is far more impressive. And pretty much everyone knows that McDonald's is not good for them, per se. In this instance, good means useful to be processed through the human body. In fact, there's been whole movies done about it, such as Super Size Me, and that other one, and, Oh God, where's the bathroom? Oh sweet merciful Lord, somebody get me 3 rolls of toilet paper and a Zamboni, because this is gonna be a nuclear fallout. That one went straight to DVD. But the amount of harm food like McDonald's does is hard to calculate. I mean, this stuff shouldn't be qualified as food. Recently, a man in Utah revealed that he had kept a McDonald's hamburger out in the open for 14 years, and it still looked nearly identical. Doesn't even have a strange odor. 14 f***ing years! In order for food to not degrade for that amount of time, it has to be absolutely unapproachable to things like mold and bacteria and fungus. We are eating something that even mold is too smart to want. Mold! Mold doesn't even turn down the corners of your bathtub. Do you understand how dumb mold is? Mold bought Facebook stock on the first day it was offered. Think about that. When this burger was originally purchased, the top song on the radio was Britney Spears' first single, Hit Me Baby One More Time. Britney Spears is now 65 years old with 3 kids, and she says Hit Me One More Time. She's talking about heroin. That's how long this burger has been sitting out in the open. The cows whose lips and anuses were used to make this burger were born when the original Home Alone was at the top of the box office. Macaulay Culkin was an adorable 8-year-old. Now, if Macaulay Culkin is home alone, it's because he's doing heroin. And the burger still looks untouched. A dead body begins decaying in a few days. This burger is less attractive to microscopic organisms than a corpse. And then, of course, there's the amount of diabetes and obesity McDonald's and other fast food is responsible for. The number one killer in America is heart disease. But you already know that stuff. So let's move on to the factory farms where the animals are manufactured, never seeing a pasture, stacked on top of each other in cages no larger than their bodies for their entire lives before they're marched off to be... Well, since this is a family show, I won't describe it, but let's just say even Stephen Harper would have trouble watching it, and he oversees the violent disemboweling of Canada on a daily basis. And while we know the harm McDonald's does to your outward appearance is obvious, man boobs, the effect on the brain is a little less obvious. We don't really know those effects, but no one would be surprised to hear that brain function is impacted heavily by having processed, nutritionless, flavor-enhanced, salt-encrusted, sugar-filled, butter-baked wads of beef turds pressed upon us from our earliest years, when our minds are squishy and malleable and dumb enough to think it's edible and potable. I'm not saying we aren't smarter than we were 100 years ago. I mean, back then, they thought a blowjob could make a woman pregnant in her nose. I mean, every kid learns in history class about the nose-picking abortion scandal of 1885. So we are smarter, but perhaps we're a lot dumber than we could be if we weren't eating double quarter pounds of shit every day. Shit that if left sitting out for 14 years would look exactly the same. So maybe it's time McDonald's told the truth about the disaster meals they're selling rather than tricking children into begging for them. We'll be right back.
pan, so eat it, just eat it. Don't wanna argue, I don't wanna debate. Don't wanna hear about what kind of food you hate. You won't get no dessert till you clean off your plate, so eat it. Don't you tell me you're full, just eat it, eat it. Get yourself an egg and beat it. Have some more chicken, have some more pie. It doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried. Just eat it, just eat it, just eat it, just eat it.
A picture going viral on the web is giving Taco Bell officials a case of indigestion. The company's just issued a statement promising, and I'm quoting now, swift action against those involved. The statement also says Taco Bell believes the photo is a prank and the food was not served to any customers.
Your table manners are a crying shame. You're playing with your food, this is some kind of game. Now if you starve to death, you'll just have yourself to blame. So eat it, just eat it. You better listen, better do what you're told. You haven't even touched your tuna casserole. Ooh. You better chow down or it's gonna get cold. So eat it. I don't care if you're full, just eat it. Eat it. Open up your mouth and feed it. Have some more yogurt, have some more Spam. It doesn't matter if it's fresh or canned. Just eat it. Eat it. It doesn't matter what you had for lunch. Just eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it. Eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it.
Just what's in that soft drink you're ordering. The next time you patronize a fast food joint, make sure you mention to hold the ice if you're planning on ordering a fountain drink. Well, a report out of the UK's Daily Mail found that 6 in 10 of the UK's most visited fast food chains serve ice in drinks containing more bacteria than the restaurant's toilet water. The ice in question, from McDonald's to Burger King to KFC, even Starbucks, was classified as having enough microbes to constitute a hygiene risk to patrons. Well, it isn't clear what factors lead to this alarming trend, albeit employee hygiene, failure to clean the ice machine, or other factors. The ice may come from machines that aren't cleaned or by restaurant employees that scoop up ice with unwashed hands. One thing is clear, though, you may want to skip the cubes and settle for lukewarm soda over the E. coli.
You can't send it back. Just eat it, eat it. Get yourself an egg and beat it. Have some more chicken, have some more pie. It doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried. Just eat it, eat it. Don't you make me repeat it. Have a banana, have a whole bunch.
Health headline that got our attention tonight about coffee and how much many of us drink every day. Scientists, in fact, looking at that feeling you get when the caffeine wears off, sometimes that chemical crash so intense, they're now considering it a medical condition. Here tonight, ABC's Susan Solney.
Ever missed your morning caffeine fix?
Yeah, I ended up with a really bad headache.
You wouldn't want to be around me without caffeine. I'll just put it that way.
We've all been there, and now there's a medical term for it. In the American Psychiatric Association's Manual of Mental Disorders. Yes, mental disorders. Researchers want people to know that caffeine withdrawal is real and brings fatigue, headache, and difficulty focusing. Doctors say caffeine, which is a drug, is safe for adults who consume up to about 400 milligrams a day. That's about 4 cups of coffee. ABC's Lisa Stark drank that much and took an MRI to show what it did to her brain. Here's before. And here's after. Her blood flow went down 40% and her blood pressure shot up. The government is worried about the onslaught of newly caffeinated products in almost every aisle of the supermarket, in things like popcorn and hot sauce, even gummy bears. The Food and Drug Administration is considering a crackdown. They're particularly concerned about the effects on children.
The scary part is, you know, all the things that you don't know have caffeine in it that you're not intentionally trying to stimulate yourself with.
Now, several people I talked to today said they were actually glad that caffeine withdrawal is finally being recognized as something real. But others said they remain concerned about possibly being labeled with a mental disorder.
I like my coffee like I like my man. Hot, black, rich, strong, steamy. Wakes me up in the morning and keeps me up at night. Bold aroma, sensual, dark, wet, Colombian, robust. I gotta take a dump when we're through. French press me up against the
nutty.
I want it to hurt, scalding, hard. Hotter and hotter and hotter, and call 911 because I'm on fire.
Okay, so do you know what size you want, or,
what size do you got? I don't want no skinny latte. I want a big cup. I want you to fill me up to the brim, but leave room for cream.
All right, so that's a large with cream and sugar, and how will we be paying for that?
Honey, I've never paid for coffee a day in my life.
There are a few things that we all know and accept about human beings. One of them is that we all need food and water to survive. But Eric Johnson is here to tell us about one woman who wants to challenge even the most fundamental concept of life, Eric.
Yes, that we need to eat.
Of course.
I mean, this is a really interesting story. Her name is Naveena Shine. I'm not a doctor, but she didn't seem at all crazy to me. But she does have some ideas that are, shall we say, out there a little bit. I'm not sure if Naveena is starving for attention or not, but she's definitely starving.
Naveena Shine is a delightful English lady, 65 years old, and she's aiming big.
This will literally save the earth.
She doesn't keep a lot of food on hand.
I don't have any food in here, just a little milk for tea.
Naveena says she doesn't need food at all, and she's out to prove it to the world.
What are you doing again?
Oh, what am I doing? Well, the intention of what I'm doing is I want to provide evidence that it is possible, should it be possible, that human beings can live and thrive and do really well without having to eat solid food.
And so she's quit eating. She's living on water and tea with a dab of milk.
When's the last time you ate?
3rd of May.
Right now you're thinking, this lady is nuts, and she says you're not the first. She has cameras set up in every corner of her home, recording herself 24 hours a day. When she sat with us outside, she had a mobile camera recording. It's so she can prove to the world that humans don't need food.
There's got to be a point that's a shift over point. You either go into starvation and death, or you go into finding the place within and without that creates living on light.
She talks a lot about light, the kind from the sun, but also an inner power source that she can't really define. She says she sometimes has sudden drops in blood pressure. Maybe that's what this was.
I'm actually feeling the need soon to like sit down because I'm beginning to, I think I need to lie down. Okay, so do you want to turn the cameras off for a minute?
Naveena laid down for a bit until the dizziness was gone. Dr. Rich Lindquist from Swedish Hospital doesn't doubt that Naveena can survive for a while on tea and water.
She probably is competent. I just think it's a bad decision.
Perhaps as long as 3 or 4 months.
People can live for extended periods of time, but people need food to be able to live.
He says the body will cannibalize itself for a while, burning up stored fat and muscle, but ultimately,
long term, over time, if you don't eat, you die.
That simple.
It's that simple.
If I was sitting here eating a sandwich, would that bother you?
No. No. I don't think I'd even be attracted to it.
This doesn't bother you at all?
Here I am. You Can haven't you... eaten in how long?
I can't even smell it. I think I'm coming up to 5 weeks. This Friday, I think I'll be 5 weeks.
Is there a part of you right now that wants to punch me in the mouth and grab this sandwich? And
I think it's you who's obsessed with sandwiches.
And so her one-woman battle against the whole concept of food continues. She calls it an experiment. The medical community calls it dangerous. Conventional wisdom calls it crazy. Still, Naveena Shine is a delightful English lady.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Now, Justice Louis Brandeis once said, sunlight is the greatest disinfectant.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
I want to love like me thinking of you, thinking of me, thinking of you type love, or me telling my friends more than I've ever admitted to myself about how I feel about you type love, or hating how jealous you are, but loving how much you want me all to yourself type love, or seeing how your first name just sounds so good next to my last name, and I wanted to see how far I could get without calling you, and I barely made it out of my garage. See, I want a love that makes me wait until she falls asleep, then wonder if she's dreaming about us being in love type love, or who loves the other more, or what she's doing at this exact moment, or slow dancing in the middle of our apartment to the music of our hearts, closing my eyes and imagining how a love good could just hurt so much when she's not there, and shit, I love not knowing where this love is headed type love. And check this, I want to place those little post-it notes all around the house so she never forgets how much I love her type love, then... not have enough ink in my pen to write all the insta love about her type love, and hope I make her feel as good as she makes me feel. And I want to deal with my friends making fun of me the way I made fun of them when they went through the same kind of love type love. Only difference is, this is one of those real love type loves. And just like in high school, I want to spend hours on the phone not saying shit, and then fall asleep and then wake up with her right next to me. And smell her all up in my covers type love. And I want to try counting the ways I love her, then lose count in the middle just so I have to start all over again. And I want to celebrate one of those 1 month anniversaries, even though they ain't really anniversaries, but doing it just because it makes a happy type love. And check this, I want to fall in love with the melody the phone plays when none of us dialed into a type love, then talk to you until I lose my breath. She leaves me breathless, but with the expanding of my lungs, I inhale all of her back into me. I want a love that makes me need to change my cell phone calling plan to something that allows me to talk to her longer, because in all honesty, I want to avoid one of them high cell phone bill type loves. And I want a love that makes me regret how small my hands are. I mean, the lines of my palms don't give me enough time to love you as long as I'd like to type love. And I want a love that makes me stutter just thinking about how strong this love is type love. And I want a love that makes me want to cut off all my hair. Well, maybe not all of the hair. Maybe like I cut the split ends and trim my mustache, but it would still be a symbol of how strong my love is for her. And check this. I kind of feel comfortable now, so I even be fantasizing about walking out on a green light, just dying to get hit by a car, just so I could lose my memory, get transported to some third world country just to get treated, then somehow meet up again with you so I can fall in love with you in a different language and see if it still feels the same type love. I want a love that's as unexplainable as she is.
Now, go find the others.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.